Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
And we are on.
Yo, popping. I'd like to welcome everybody back to another episode of the Step Brothers Podcast. It's your host with the most, Chris Minor, a.k.a. Dino Spumoni, Extra Cheese and Pepperoni, a.k.a. Talk to Me Nice, a.k.a. Young Wikipedia, a.k.a. Young Chris Kringle, the gift that keeps on giving.
A lot of prep.
Yeah, a.k.a. at the day ever comes. No, I'm going to say that one. For when the day comes.
For when the day comes.
Yeah. What's good, Don? Oh, this is episode 254, right?
Yeah.
By the way, what's good, Don?
We're almost halfway to 260. Yeah, man. We're back. It's Dalton, your boy, dad gang extraordinaire, here and live in the flesh.
Talk about it.
I am a father of a two-year-old officially now.
I wish we had a bomb.
Whoa, crazy. We don't have. I turned all the sounds down. Okay. They're not what we need.
Also, I guess now you can announce your other announcement, right?
Yeah, we'll get into that as well. But yeah, Raiden Legend Smith turned 2 years old, which is why we took off. It was just going to be too hectic to try to do this with all the birthday planning we were doing, plus the Easter holiday wrecked us bad.
Yeah.
We've been so busy doing parental family things that it just wouldn't have made sense. So we're here now.
Yeah.
But I'm kind of glad, like I told Chris in the car, I am glad that we kind of had that break because it let a lot of things happen and a lot of things marinate. So we're here clear-headed, calm, collected, ready to chop it up and do what stepbrothers do. So we're here.
I don't know if I'm any of those things. You're just listening.
Whoa.
I don't know. We'll see.
Once we
get down the rabbit hole, though. There's a lot of things that happen. We could do like a little rapid fire thing. Pow! So, my mother's birthday was on the 29th. We had her birthday party the weekend prior to Raiden's. Good time as always. Shout out to everyone that came. It was a good night. The kids really enjoyed themselves. My mom had went to the store, got the the shit to dye the eggs with and all that.
The kids. Oh, so y'all dyed the eggs?
Yes. Well, Corn had came with her daughter, Kennedy. So this is the first time Kennedy has met my niece, my great niece, and nephew and all that. So they all were mingling.
Okay, I did see Kennedy over there.
They all mingled really well, which I was like really happy for about that. And my mom like I said, bought the dye and shit like that. I fried wings. I think I fried like, I counted. I had to count. I fried 96 wings. Did the obviously the high
96 wings?
Yeah, it was 96. Okay. It was like four packs.
Uh huh.
That's all I got.
Okay.
Some of them were broken. They looked deformed. I tossed those to the side. I wasn't finna. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Shout out to Henry and Ariana. They pulled up. Yeah, good time. Mook and Jennifer were actually in Atlanta visiting Caitlin for her.
Awesome.
I think it was like it was some special event they were out there for.
Good.
She just hit me up for her little. What do you call it? Not draft day. I guess. What is it called? Hold on, let me see. I want to be accurate. Where Caitlin? I just sent her the money last night. I know she here. Cookie.
Oh, and by the way, while he's looking it up, if you see me, if you're watching the video, you keep seeing me look to the left. I have a two camera set up here. I'm just doing a test, so just don't mind me.
Oh, yeah. She asked me if I would like to donate to her first Founders Day.
Oh, okay.
So it was founded in 1881. She asked for $18.81 exactly. So I just sent her a dub, you know, get you a little cheeseburger or something like that change. You feel me?
Well, it didn't sound like you didn't do the assignment.
I sent her 20. Oh, well, exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I just felt weird sending her 18.
Yeah, no, it's a very exact amount. Yeah, like, I would just be like, $20. Yeah, make it easy.
Yeah, but other than that, which, again, good time. There was one little hiccup. All right, so Vince was being Vince, obviously. He threw a pillow, right? It was just a little outdoor pillow, a little, you sit on a chair for decor.
Did he throw it at somebody?
Yes. He meant to hit Zach. But he hit Nova. So it was like, it was so weird because I wasn't waiting for Nova to start crying. Like, you know that pause you do like when a kid. I was waiting to see how Zach would
react. I don't do it anymore, but I get you.
Yeah. So I looked at Zach to see if they were going to, you know.
Do the thing.
And they didn't. So I swear, I looked down for like 5 seconds. I looked back up. Zach had bits on the ground. In a headlock. And I was like, oh my fucking God. Like, how did that happen so fast? Yeah. I got up, pulled them off each other, kept Vince on the ground. I was like holding his head there, pause, and like pushed Zach off. And then once Zach, you know, got his bearings or whatever, I let Vince go. And that was that. They were friends again the next day. Vince just got drunk. But anyways, other than that, everything's been like a pretty regular, schmegular week. But The man, the myth, the legend, Raiden, Legend Smith himself in the flesh turned 2 years old.
Yeah.
This past Sunday.
We
which
did
is Jennifer's birthday as well. So happy birthday to
awesome
Jennifer as well.
And Amanda's boyfriend. So a lot of people are born
on
today.
The 7th of April, right? 4/7.
Yeah. So, I mean, we had a lot of fun. He definitely did a lot better this year, obviously, than last year. Mm-hmm. He actually got a nap before the party. So he woke up with people there. He literally woke up and said, "People?" And I'm like, "Yeah." And he,
it's go time.
He was excited. He was really excited to see everybody. Like, he was very he was very hyper. He's very interactive with everybody. He didn't really do the shy thing this time because I think we were at home in our element. He got a lot of really good gifts. I really appreciate all the gifts we got. A lot of cool books, some really awesome clothes, like, because he's in, he needs like toddler sizes now, so we got a lot of clothes, some shoes. Chris got him some Stan Smiths. Auntie Enid got him some blue Converse, which he had on today. He'd be rocking them Converse. And, of course, toys and such. But it was a Bluey-themed party. If you're not aware of Bluey, it's a children's show created with the parents in mind. Really cool show. Raiden loves it, and he got a lot of obviously Bluey themed toys. We had plates, balloons, of course we had Chick-fil-A catering as always, but we did cook some stuff as well.
Hit every time.
Kamara made a charcuterie board, my wife made some pigs in a blanket, and then me and my wife the night before baked some like cake pops and stuff. They weren't very pretty, but they tasted good, so it was cool. I mean, everybody... pretty much I invited, showed up, even Miles showed up, which was cool. So,
yeah, I didn't even know he was in town.
So I always send my out-of-town friends an invite just to let them know, like, well, I was thinking about you. Right. I don't expect any of them to come. It's just like a gesture thing. But Brandon sent a gift. I appreciate that. My mother sent a gift. And Miles showed up, like I said. Yeah, we really appreciate it. Had a lot of fun. He was in a great mood. And after, like, the party ended, I was like cleaning up, and her brother Charlie stayed. Chris and Ryan stayed, and
Miles as well.
Miles stayed for a while, and kind of just chopped it up while I was cleaning in the background. Then my wife were talking, and then like Raiden was just playing. Like, it was crazy. We got to give him a bath and everything, and he was like all cleaned up and fresh. We gave him dinner, and like we were just it all was happening like at the same time. Yeah, it was cool. But he was having a blast with his two uncles there. He just kept calling them both uncles. So Ryan kept trying to get him to call him G2 for Godfather 2, but he was just
not there yet.
He just kept saying uncle.
Yeah, not there yet.
But they were having fun. It was great. And yes, my wife gave me the go ahead to officially say that we are pregnant. We are having another child. It is officially another boy. My wife was confident it was going to be a girl because she's having a way harder time with this pregnancy. It has been really hard not to talk about it because my wife has been going through it. But
slipped up twice on here.
Yeah, I edited one out, yeah. And then one was like kind of like a breeze through. But
I told your, do I call her your wife or do I call her by
just,
her name?
Just call her name.
Okay, I told you because you were like my wife. I didn't know what to call her.
Well, it's weird to call her Shelby.
I guess.
Because
like, yeah. I feel you. I told Shelby because I'm kind of aware with what she's dealing with, not like 100%. But I was like, man, this baby better come out looking like Prince, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, off the rip. Ray is a beautiful boy off the rip. But, like, I don't know if she was dealing with the same type of things this time around.
No. So, Raiden's pregnancy was pretty smooth sailing until the end. Mm. But the only thing my wife had, like, the weird quirks that she had with that pregnancy was that she craved peanut butter jelly sandwiches, and then she was eating a lot of apples. And then she had the smell aversions pretty much the whole time, which if anything smelled too strong, she would lose her appetite or get nauseous. So I had to, like, kind of stop cooking. I had to cook before she got there so she didn't smell it.
Does she have any weird cravings this time?
She's had barely any appetite this time. That's the problem. Mm. And she didn't get any, like, pain until the end when her hips really spread open. And she got that sciatic nerve pain for, like, a week and had trouble sleeping. But after that, it was pretty much smooth sailing because Raiden was pretty lazy in the belly. He was, like, always. This baby is active. Like, if you put your hand in her belly, he will, like,
move.
Like, he's moving. Yeah. Like, I felt him kick several times already. So she's just been going through it. A lot of the worst stuff happened in the first trimester, so it's kind of died down. Her appetite's kind of returning. She's having some other residual effects, but we're not going to talk about those here.
Of course.
But, but that's why she thought it was a girl, because it was so different, so much stuff, because they say the more hormones and stuff, it generally means a girl. But it's another boy. Of course, we already got a name picked out. His name's going to be Ronan, so we're going to have Raiden and Ronan. So R-O-N-I-N. K-E-I. So Ronan K. Smith.
What is the significance of K?
Sure. So it's a play on Japanese again. And then we kept the R significance, so Raiden and Ronan. And in Japanese, Ronan is like a master of the samurai, sometimes called a Roroni, like Ronan Kenshin. Yeah, it's basically someone with no master. So, like, I like that kind of as a name. Like, you have no, like, the master. And then K, which is funny enough, is from Keiko from Yu Yu Hakusho. We like the name. And then Ko, it means child, which that's why we didn't keep it. But generally, that means like a prideful child. Like, so your pride and joy, basically, is what K means. But there's this K, like, if you look up Japanese, several meanings for K, but the big one is masterful, prideful. So I took it as, since Ronan is, you have no master, and then K is like masterful, like you're mastering yourself, is how I wanted the names to kind of flow. But it is inspired by Keiko from Yu Yu Hakusho, because we did think it was a girl. Shelby liked that middle name a lot, which is why we're keeping it. So for right now, that's where we're at. I still like it.
No, it's hot.
Because Ronan was a sexually ambiguous name, so you can use it for a girl or a guy. So we're just sticking with that. Because at first, it was going to be, the girl was going to be Ramsey, but then Shelby really, really liked Ronan, and then she just kept it there. Ronan's
fire, bro.
The original, like, way back when Raiden was born, we had the names written out. Ramsey Nova was going to be the girl, and then Ronan Sky, but she was like, Sky's kind of random, so we made him more thing. But yeah, another boy is coming, September. So my son and Ridge's daughter will be born near each other, so because I think his daughter is due in August. So once again, someone's always born near my kids, because when Raiden was born, Joseph's daughter was born 10 days later, and then Joseph's daughter is my Jonathan Joseph's daughter, and then Joe Cree's daughter as well was born right next to my son's birthday, and this time it's always a girl too, because Ridge's daughter. So it's cool. Raiden will be a big brother. I'm really excited to see how he is. I know it's going to be a weird dynamic, but I am excited to see it. And before anybody comments or asks, we're not having any more. This is a wrap.
Oh, you're getting a
I'm turning the water off. Yeah. I'm getting a vasectomy. Yeah, I'm turning the water off. After the baby is born, we're confirmed healthy, of course. Mm-hmm. But my wife already confirmed she just can't do this again. and I confirm I can't do this again.
Yeah.
Mentally and fiscally, I cannot do this anymore. But
physical with an F.
But I am glad he has somebody, because that's the one thing we wanted, to give him somebody, sibling. It was just a year earlier than we wanted. We want him to be three, but he'll be 2.5 when Ronan is born. So that's not too far off.
Yeah,
that's
close enough.
But we're here, and we're doing a damn thing, and my son is still alive. So we're doing okay. And my son is super fun, and everybody always says that they've never seen a kid smile so much. So I'll take that and run with it.
Yeah, Raiden definitely like to show them teeth. Little quick hits. So today is April 11th, 2024. So we're going to run through our quick hits and then get to why most of our audience
is here today.
Yeah. Quick hit. Rest in peace to Mr. C.
Yeah.
Prominent figure with the Bad Boy, with Biggie.
Yeah.
DJ. Rest in peace to Mr. C.
Yeah.
Also, that was random as fuck. Haven't heard too much about Mr. C in a while. So that was super random. I'm like, wait, what?
A lot of hip hop legends are passing.
But OJ.
OJ Simpson Orenthal, passed away. Yeah.
What's his middle name?
I don't know.
OJ. He died today.
76 years old of cancer.
Prostate, right?
Yeah.
Crazy. I got a notification from Google. It was like, OJ Simpson dies. I'm like, what the fuck?
And I'm mad. I went to Twitter for like confirmation, because it was just all jokes.
Oh yeah,
It just was like nonstop, and I get it.
Yeah, yeah.
OJ wasn't the most prominent figure,
but towards the end of his life, I guess. You know, because where was he? Remember when he came to Twitter? That was kind of like a moment.
That was a big deal.
Yeah, yeah. And I don't know if he was like, he just got out of jail, or he just joined Twitter. Like, it felt like he came from somewhere. And, you know, he was a part of the Twitter space at that point.
Yeah.
He would talk about different sports takes, especially with football, how he felt about Patrick Mahomes going against San Francisco.
Yeah.
He even popped up on Cam and Mace's sports show a few times. He was like a C mic or D mic, because they have a mediator. But
let's call him an analyst.
He was an analyst, yeah. Yeah. But yeah, that was super random, and the first thing I actually thought about when I read that, or saw that rather, or whatever, was going back and watching the Hulu show that they made on his life, or the trial rather, and because I know we were watching it at the apartment, it was a big deal.
Yeah.
Like, we were like really watching it for real, because we weren't. I mean, when did that happen? Like early 90s.
Yeah, I was very young.
So I might not even been born. I don't know the exact date. I might not even been born. But I was aware that OJ went through that. And
The iconic, the glove part.
The glove, the white Bronco, everything, right?
Yeah.
Going through, watching the show, and then kind of throughout our adolescent growing up, just seeing little different tidbits.
And then the random outburst of, OJ did it? All that stuff.
Yeah, type shit.
Yeah.
Him getting out of jail, wrote the book, If I Were to Do It, and everything else.
No, I would have done crazy.
Even his connection with the Kardashians, because Robert Kardashian was his lawyer
and allegedly time. OJ might be Khloe's dad. It's a lot of shit.
It's a lot of shit, right? A lot of lore there.
Yeah. That's a good one, yeah. There's a lot of lore there.
So Bruce, well, I guess Caitlyn now, came out and was like, good riddance. And Twitter had a fucking field day, which I truly appreciate.
Yeah.
That they went through and basically ripped her a new one, being like, hey, you changed your identity because you killed somebody.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I don't really know why she went out of her way to say that. I mean, I guess free speech, you could do whatever you want, but like, people really let her have it on social media.
That's what I'm saying. It was just, it's weird. Like, people celebrate death.
Yeah. I get you might feel some type of way about that part. But why do you, Caitlin, why do you feel this way? Like, you married the woman of the person who helped get him off. So do you feel like, are you going to say good riddance when she died?
Like, did
you say good riddance when he died? Because they were cool. He was around, Bruce.
Yeah.
I'm aware of that much about the Kardashians. He was around before he.
And he's passed. A fellow athlete.
Yeah. Like,
oh, she's a fellow athlete.
Yeah. Well, not she, he.
Bruce Jenner was.
Yeah. Because she didn't.
But either way, like, it is one of those weird like spaces because like I know like didn't he and it's been the whole
did crux, you fuck my wife
that's the whole crux of his life he was definitely like
a prominent
figure. He was a big name and it was random.
It made me think about that Chappelle joke, and I saw a TikTok kind of similar.
What
was Chappelle? It was like one of the comeback stand-ups that was on Netflix, and he was like, he said something alluding to OJ. It was a show where he was setting up how he met different people. It was like three times. No, I think it was OJ. I met OJ three different times in my life. It was I think it was the first or second special.
Okay.
And he said he went out to dinner and saw OJ there, and OJ was like, keep being great. You're doing good, da, da, da. And I guess somebody who was with Chappelle was like, oh, my God, that was OJ. Like, he killed somebody. Like, why are you so happy to meet him? And he was like, man, he ran for 267 yards. Yeah. And I saw a TikTok that was kind of alluded to that. But, again, his history as far as sports go, I don't really start paying attention until Deion Sanders, Emmitt Smith, Troy Aikman, like that era.
Nah, he was big time, though. He was big time.
Yeah. But rest in peace to the legend, man. If he did it, if he didn't, the glove didn't fit.
That's years ago.
I did realize that he had on, like, the little medical latex gloves while he was trying to put it. I noticed that today. And I was like, it might not. But even, like, they're so thin. Like, if you can't fit the Isotona, you can't fit the Isotona, bro.
The Isotona.
Yeah. But anyways, that was so rest in peace to Mr. C, OJ the Juice Man, not the one from Atlanta. And Texas witnessed history this past Monday with the solar eclipse.
A lot of people did, though.
Well, a lot of people.
But we had...
The best.
We had solar eclipse.
Yeah.
The full totality solar eclipse. Mm. Which happens every 20 years.
Yeah.
But this was like a big one for us.
Yeah, because we're social media.
So it was a frenzy. I remember that some schools actually took off.
Some
and then
got off work early.
Then a lot of people, like a lot of schools were I saw them outside. Mm-hmm. There was people crying. Yeah.
I didn't meet this family, but a family flew here from London.
Yeah.
Saw the eclipse, stopped at Goodwill, talking to one of our cashiers, which she came and, you know, told everybody. Yeah, they flew 9 hours to see the solar eclipse. They stopped at Goodwill before their flight, and they were flying back because their kids had to go to school the next day. And I was just like, what the fuck?
Listen, and that's not a joke because, listen, the my son's birthday was the weekend of the eclipse, right? So eclipse happened on Monday, and my son's birthday was on the 7th. So So by his party was on Saturday, and the 7th it was a Sunday. So we always do something with us together. So we went to the Dallas World Aquarium. Mm. That was the plan. So we went. Oh my fucking gosh!
There's a lot of people there.
There was fucking everybody. I've never seen this aquarium so busy.
Wow.
There was like a line and everybody was speaking. I heard every language possible.
Wow.
I heard Dutch, German. I heard Japanese, Chinese. Like, people flew here to see the fucking eclipse. But,
over a 2.5-3 hour?
Yeah, and then the eclipse itself lasted 4 minutes.
Yeah.
So, like,
it was fire, though.
No, but people flew around the world, and I just did not expect that. So we went, and it was just like, because the last time we went to the aquarium, he was like real small. Mm-hmm. You can take your time. This one was like, you were like shuffling like a herd. Like,
yeah.
So I was like, oh, I feel bad for Raiden because he can't like
enjoy.
I'm doing a makeup thing on Saturday. I'm taking it to the Crayola experience, but yeah. So people really were here for that shit. Like I knew they said like in Tyler and shit was gonna be crazy because like they had like the best view, like Tyler, Texas, because it was like clear skies. Like where I was at was kind of cloudy.
Yeah, we were cloudy that day. We were,
but
here, yeah.
Yeah, it was like, I remember everybody went outside at work to look at it, and then I went to the bank for work to make the deposit, and then as I was driving, it was getting darker, and I got there just in time to watch the closing of the fingernail.
Yeah.
And I was outside the bank with all the bank tellers, and they were just like, oh.
My experience was a little different. So that day already started off strange. Like, Vince was there. And so he was like, I'm going to take you to work. And he ended up going to the smoke shop across the street from my job. So I was like, I'm just going to walk to work because you finna get, like, it's finna take time for you. I'm not waiting for you to have a walk across the street. Got to work. And my manager and assistant manager was there, and it was me. So they were like, yeah, we were supposed to have potluck. They wanted to have a solar eclipse potluck that day. Oh. She DoorDashed moon pies, like the chocolate ones.
I love moon pies.
She was like, yeah, I'm going to go get some pizza. I had to order it for her and all that shit.
Little Caesars?
Mr. Jim's, because it's on the same street.
I miss seeing how cheap they were.
Oh, no. she bought four pieces. So okay. It was like 65 bucks.
Yeah.
But she bought it. I just ordered it. They both left to go get the pizza. So I was running the store. Not too much going on because, you know, traffic wasn't coming to Goodwill. My assistant manager bought everybody glasses. Okay. So she texted me. It was like, we're still waiting for the pizza. They were literally 2 minutes away from my job. So she texted me. It was like, we're still waiting. Give everybody their glasses. It's about to start. Gave everybody their glasses. Ariel went to 7-Eleven. Her man's family owns a particular 7-Eleven, or a couple rather. So he always like hook us up, give us free shit, whatever.
Okay.
So she left and... my other coworker, she went to go chill with her mom for lunch. I was like, man, y'all say this shit special, everybody leaving. Everybody came back right on time. They all went outside. Then I felt bad as a, like, you know, I guess leader or whatever, because both my managers were enjoying it as well.
Yeah.
So I was like, hey, if y'all want to go watch it, everybody just go. Like, I'll be up front. Like, I'll hold it down. Like, you know what I'm saying? I got the window open.
POP, not
the
window, hold it down.
Type shit. I got the curtains open so I can look outside when it get dark.
Yeah.
But at that point, we literally only had 3 shoppers in the store. And once it started, there was an older lady there. She didn't even know, like,
what was going on.
So a coworker was explaining it to her. She came outside. I was like, good golly. All that shit. Went outside, watched
good
it.
Good golly.
Yeah, and we walked out. Yeah, it was cool.
Why, like, you an old lady like that?
She was old. And so it was cool seeing, like, because across the street from me, you got a nail salon, a Subway.
Everybody was outside, right?
Yeah, so everybody was, like, everybody their little groups.
Yeah, everybody was outside. Employees
was outside looking.
Oh, yeah.
The garbage truck pulled over while it was happening. As soon as the light started shining.
Yeah, it did say people to pull over when they were driving.
Yeah, so they got back on the road. So it was a moment. It was dope. My coworkers got some really dope pictures.
Did you get any powers?
I did.
Okay.
I got the power of negativity.
Seems pretty. That's a pretty shitty power.
Yeah. So everything
just turns to negative for you now.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it really just heightened my senses of negativity. if you're asking for anything.
Hate.
Type shit. I told my co, I was like, yo, I love to hate. Like, I told him, I was like, I'm a hater, bro. I hate a lot of shit.
You are a hater.
But, you know, I own that. That's who I am. But, yeah, the solar eclipse was dope. If you got to see it in person, it was super dope. Even people taking pictures, saw video, people on planes while the solar eclipse happened. Like, it was very dope. But something else happened over the week, I guess.
Did there.
That also took the world by surprise,
I guess. Did it happen like that?
And that's the way it is. Right?
Okay.
So,
did you appreciate my...
I did.
Okay.
Did you appreciate mine?
Yes.
Okay. So, Jermaine Cole... All right, I'm not even going to call him by his rap name.
You
anymore.
Did the Mark Phillips, okay.
Jermaine Cole dropped a project. He had been dropping Lucy's prior to.
Yeah.
And features. Might Delete Later, Volume 1, 2, blah, blah, blah. I think he dropped two prior to actually dropping the album. Jermaine Cole drops a project, EP, whatever. Might Delete Later, right? So obvious. And Dreamville Fest, or Dream, whatever the festival's called.
It was happening.
That he has in North Carolina was that weekend. Which, if you're hip and aware, me and Dawnette already said, if a response is coming, it's going to be during his festival, right?
And oddly enough, on the Might Delete Later, you have Absol on the album,
which is fire.
And then,
and Daylight.
Yeah, but and Schoolboy Q performed at the festival. They did. So I was like, ooh, the plot is thickening.
It's thickening, right? So he dropped the mixtape, which would have been a Thursday night, mm-hmm. which we did not pod last Thursday. So I don't know what I was doing at that time. I know y'all were getting, well, I don't know what y'all were doing either, actually. But anyways.
We were doing all the kid stuff, man. We're just
like, yeah. So Friday morning, I wake up, get my stretch. Go to my newspaper, Twitter. Right?
Turn the page.
So yeah. I go to my newspaper and I see Jermaine Cole at Dreamville Fest.
It's like pandemonium.
Yeah. He's apologized for the record, which on the album is called Seven Minute Drill, which is a military term for something that the soldiers do.
Yeah.
They have to complete a 7 minute drill, right?
Okay.
And Jermaine's 7 minute drill is for him to write a rap in 7 minutes. The beat was produced by T-Minus, which is Drake's old producer, which is now J. Cole's producer. Oddly enough, that's another story for another day. T-Minus did an interview. I really enjoyed T-Minus beats. They were fun, right? Like, it was creativity.
You're going off on a tangent.
But it's important.
Okay.
T-Minus stopped making beats. Drake mentioned this on Weston Rhodes on Views.
Mm-hmm.
He said something that alluded to back when T-Minus was making beats because he had stopped. I was always intrigued by, like, how do you stop? Like, he had that same type of fun.
Yeah.
Energy Timbaland had early on. Like, the beats were kind of unorthodox, but it worked. She Will. Make Me Proud, you know, the motto. Like, they were always fun beats, but they were hard. So T-Minus had did an interview some years later about, like, yo, I wanted to, he, like, went and found God. He was, like, a spiritual awakening, yeah, so to speak. He probably made so much money so fast, his life changed, a lot of different things went on.
He needed to get correct with himself, yeah.
The one record I know for sure that T-Minus produced for Drake since then was on... the album with his dad as the cover. I can't think of the name. More Life. And it was the Blim.
He produced Blim. That was the one.
That was a hard record.
Yeah.
But that really been it. Like, no more T-Minus to Drake. Then T-Minus did the first record for J. Cole, which was Middle Child.
Okay. That was a big hit for him.
It was. Yeah. And then they continued to work together since. Okay. He did Kevin's Heart.
Yeah. I love that song, though.
He did the 7 minute drill. They got a good relationship. So just the fact that you went from one mulatto to another mulatto, the lifestyle
you
choices.
Have a type.
Yeah, the lifestyle choices might have been what you're running away from, which is important. But anyways, 7 minute drill, the army guys, J. Cole does this. He does a drill where he writes raps in 7 minutes, which is, if you are an artist or you can imagine, is a very difficult thing to do. So on the 7 minute drill, he addresses the Kendrick Lamar "Like That" verse, right?
Sort of.
You can hear in the rap that Cole felt conviction. Like, he didn't really.
His heart wasn't in it.
Yeah, his heart wasn't in it. Good way to say it. He mentioned about how nobody would be talking about him unless there's controversy involved, which. The lie detector test determined
that was a lie.
Because you just mentioned me, K. Dot, Aubrey, we the big three.
First person shooter.
You said that. Then he went on to say his albums, he ranked his albums basically. Like, the first one was cool. The second one was nah. The third one was your biggest. The fourth one, eh. Blah, blah, blah. I'm right behind. And some people, because Twitter's an open space because of Elon, they could get their opinions off. They were either on J. Cole's side or against him. Obviously, I'm against it because I know that the conviction wasn't there in his delivery. He didn't mean that shit. And I talked to Steph about it at your party because we always talk about rap shit. And
yeah, he's a big battle head.
Yeah, so, he is. Yeah. So I was like, yeah, I don't think he could really say that with his chest poking out when he himself has caught so much scrutiny over his bodies of work being boring or lackluster and so heavy. So the album dropped midnight Thursday to Friday. By what, Monday morning, he apologized and was like,
it was pretty quick.
You know, which if you haven't seen, it's every New York Times talking about it. I think Huffington Post, like just random niggas. I the reason why I bring up Huffington Post is because it was like J. Cole apologizes to Kendrick how this is a smart business move. Because, you know, they're all about
business
shit. I was like, wait, what the fuck?
It's national media.
Yeah, like this, like.
Yeah.
Kendrick shit, what him and Future did on that, like that, right, and Metro. You know, this was the fastest hip-hop record to go platinum on streaming ever, right? Dope. But, like, I still didn't see media covering this the same type of way, right? Like, for Huffington Post to be like,
yeah,
this is a business move. What the fuck is happening to the game that I love? Yeah, so
they got Huffington Post.
Yeah, that's crazy. So a whole lot of discourse took place. J. Cole can never call himself the best. Da 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 da. Which I told Don on the way here.
It was ugly.
It was bad. That's not what I'm here to do today.
Sure.
Because you could go to any other podcast or media personality to get the J. Cole.
Yeah, let's go listen to Joe Budden for 3 hours.
Yeah, whack for doing what he did.
He took care of that.
Right. Here's where I stand.
Sit.
He did what he knew was right, right? Because there's only so many people that can actually laugh in the face of danger. And I don't feel like J. Cole's one of those people. You can't laugh at that. That's something serious. And if you can't find it in your heart to actually do the research, break him down the same way Pusha did Drake, then don't do it. Because Kendrick is going to go there. And because this is just rap. And now, if you don't want to talk to me afterwards, okay. But this is rap. So where are you at?
Now, clearly from the apology, you could tell 100% his heart was not in it. Just from that, just like it irked him so much that he had to do it. He was like basically the court of public opinion made him respond.
And his friends, he mentioned his friends did too.
And then he just wasn't into it. Now, I'm 100% for anybody protecting their peace. You know, I'm not mad about him apologizing. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't think it was warranted because, mm-hmm. I mean, he didn't really say anything blasphemous. It was just kind of like
cap. Oh, he lied.
Yeah, it was just cap, right? But I'm saying it wasn't like he wasn't like calling out by his name or anything. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So I'm not like there's two sides to everything. Like I'm in two minds, right? Mm-hmm. As a person, as just a human being, like, cool. I mean, you know, you say your piece, you're protecting your peace. You don't want to know, like, you don't want to spend your time toward negative things. Right. That's fine. But as a rap fan, like the spirit of competition, I'm just like, look, bro. As J. Cole, you have been saying for years that no one can touch you on the mic. Like, you literally have said this several times. You have shitted on, I'm going to talk about this in a minute, but you have shitted on certain communities and other people, and you've had beef with No Name and her conglomerate people, And there's never been an apology for that. But now we have an apology for this. I'm just like, yo, like, it's just interesting. Like, I'm like, okay, if your heart wasn't in your heart, wasn't it? Like, you don't, a diss doesn't have to be so, like, you're a bitch, you suck. Just be like, I'll rap the motherfucker.
So the No Name thing is interesting because I don't like her as a person.
I know that.
But I will say this. An apology for that exchange, I don't feel like that was warranted because she came at him.
No, I understand.
And all he asked was like, fill me in then. If I'm incorrect, you seem to be more astute about shit like this. Fill me in. She was like, nigga, go read a book. So, no, I'm not apologizing for me asking for information when you were the one who criticized me.
The reason I bring that up, Chris, is because that's a can of worms that opened for him after this all happened.
Yeah.
Oh, damn.
That's cool. That's cool.
Chris just spilled Sprite.
I didn't spill nothing. You had to be this shit.
I didn't shake it up and hand it to you.
I didn't shake it up either.
All right.
But we here. Keep going.
I'll go grab an app in a second. But no, I'm saying that is the can of worms that opened, like, inadvertently through all of this, right? Because what I'm saying is, if you're not aware of, like, Kendrick's body of work or, like, lyrics and things like that, there are the gay community, and specifically, he does say a lot of, like, you could say anti-gay things.
What was that, Cole?
Cole. And it opened up a can of worms, like, hey, like, you apologize to him, but you don't apologize to us.
Right.
Dang. And I'm saying, so the No Name fans did the same thing. They're like, where was our apology like a couple of years ago? And I'm just saying, so like, I don't think it did what he thought it was going to do. It opened up a whole different can of worms.
Yeah.
On some aspects. But like I said, as a person, I understand.
I'm willing to give him bail on that though, because he actually knows Kendrick. Like, sure. They probably held each other's kids.
Look,
or some
I'm not offended by it. Yeah. There are people that are literally upset.
Yeah.
Like, pissed. And as you told me in the car, like, the fandom is just so crazy now.
Yeah.
That it's just like, people want all this stuff.
If you, look, and I told Dalton on the way here about the fandom-wise, if you can't openly be objective towards your favorite artist or...
Yeah.
Who entertainer, sports person, however you
want to. No one shoots 100% from the field.
Yeah, like, if you can't be openly objective and say, you know what? LeBron had a bad night tonight. If you can't say that as a LeBron fan, you're really not a fan of him. Because in my mind, you're not willing to sit him to the side and be like, hey, bro, you got a booger in your nose. You rather just let him walk around. Fail. Yeah, you rather just let him walk around with a booger in his nose because of the tension that could come from that. You know what I mean?
Yo, if I ran into LeBron, he had a booger in his nose.
I'm just saying, I'll use that as an example.
That would be, first the same up, thing. That would be fucking hilarious.
Yeah, it would be crazy.
But I'd be like, I wouldn't say it out loud.
Right, right. But, like, hey, bro, you got a little.
I know we just met.
Right.
But
I got a little.
I would check your nose real quick.
What I do, like, I did this to my mom the other day. Like, she was eating something. She had a little. I was like, Mom, you got a little schmuck right there. I just say that. Like, just a little schmuck. Told Ariel. I was like, Ariel, you got a little schmuck in it. She was like, here, blah, blah, you know. So, if you don't fuck with a person, you're not going to do that because you're trying to actively avoid confrontation.
Yeah.
So, even with Ye, right? I was talking about this on the way here.
Yeah.
Ye's my favorite artist. There was a trend amongst diehard Kanye fans. It's getting harder to defend him because of what his antics or whatever.
He was
right?
increasingly doing crazy shit.
And you know, I had to realize, like, yo, what Kanye provides for me is not that. Like, I don't always look for him to tell me how I should be as a Christian or a spiritual person or my political views or whatever. Like, yo, Ye to me, fashion, music. And sometimes, especially during the Yeezus era, where those two things intertwined, and he was saying, like, Gaga shouldn't be the head of Polaroid because what does she know about camera? That type of shit makes sense.
So hold on. This is where Kanye. Shelby sent me a clip of Kanye that I've never seen before, and I'm okay. Because she was the caption. It was like a meme for like if you have a toddler, it's like, like asking toddlers what they want for dinner, and it was the interviewee. He had the America Make America Great Again hat on, and the guy was like asked him a question. He was like, "Give me a second. You asked me a serious question. Now give me time to think about this answer." And he paused and he says, "Now, what was the question?" So I have never seen that before. Yeah. But I was like, Chris probably loves this shit.
Yeah, but I say all that to say it's okay to be objective about who we
absolutely
support, right?
Because that's the beauty of art in general is you can be subjective about it. Everybody will see it differently than you.
Yeah.
That any great painter will tell you that. Mm. You look at their art and be like, I see this. You might see something completely different.
Now, what bothers me about the fandom, whether you're J. Cole, Kendrick, or Drake fan, whoever, Kobe, LeBron, is that when we collectively saw the booger.
Yes.
You then now cannot come years later.
Keep using the booger.
Or, some time later and be like, man, that booger wasn't really even that big for y'all to like trip out on him and have everybody point at his face and say, you got booger. A booger in your nose.
Yeah.
But the fact of the matter is that just goes to show that you simply are on dick. Like, that's all that there is to it. Like, you're just on dick. Like, I like Drake just as much as the next guy, but Pusha spanked him. And it wasn't from a lyrical standpoint. He held a mirror up and said, look at yourself.
Tactile.
Look at me, King. You know what I'm saying? Look at me. But not look at me. Look at the mirror. Right?
But it was tactile.
All Kendrick said, which should have. Oh,
shit. This motherfucker unplugged his microphone.
So that was the devil. All Kendrick said in that Like That record was, hey, y'all clicking up because y'all scared. I get it.
But don't bring me into it.
But don't bring me into it. Because we do two different things.
Yeah. Ain't no big three, it's big me.
Fuck y'all in that capacity. Not fuck your life.
Fuck.
Not fuck your kids, your wife, your career. Just don't.
Don't bring me into it.
I'm doing something different. I got a fucking puppet. I learned how to stick my hand up a puppet's ass and make it talk for my fucking tour. I had tap dancing kids on my album, man. Like, we not doing the same thing, so don't do that.
I have a Pulitzer Prize.
I have a Pulitzer fucking Prize. And on top of that, for you to, and you know this, because Drake has even made mention, like, I would have all your fans if I was a conscious rapper. That's just how big I am. If I went conscious, I would have all your fans, Kendrick. He said that on the record, 100 with Game. So it's like, you're aware of what he does, and he doesn't do what you do, but he's showed that he could.
Yeah.
He did the Bad Blood remix, even though you don't fuck with Taylor. I really like that record. Even him and Baby Keem kind of poking fun at his dance album. It's like using his flow for that Hillbillies record. I could do that. I made Humble. I was on ASAP Rocky's single fucking Problems. Even though it's kind of outside of my, you know, regular wheelhouse. I can do that, bro. I got a record with Hov. I did a record with Ye.
With Future.
I did a record with Beyonce. I did a record with Future. Like, I could do that, but that's not my main focus. Just respect it. And when people start comparing us, either say I appreciate what he does, like Kendrick always does, when they ask him about Drake, or don't say nothing. But Drake will let you know, that shit poking at me. And once Kendrick realized, oh, just them talking is poking at you, imagine if I start talking about you. Now here comes the BET Hip Hop Awards cipher with TDE. Now here comes the Control. Here comes all these little subliminals and shit. Like
The Heart Part 4.
All this shit. Like, we're not the same, bro. So don't do that. That's all. And I get that. I'm sure there's a lot of people, if y'all just sat down and took the time in your everyday life, that people try to compare you to in your everyday life. You're like, bro, we are not the same.
I am a Martian.
Type shit. Like, I don't do what they do, bro. Whether it's like your boss comparing coworkers, if it's your parents compare siblings. I don't know how deep it goes with like friendships and shit. Like, oh, you're a better friend than this friend. I don't know if it gets that deep. Maybe it do, but
it does for me.
Yeah, probably. but
I have y'all ranked.
Yeah, type shit. Girls do it like, oh, better ex or who? What's the first ex?
Deion Sanders ranked his children. Yeah, so type shit.
There's always gonna be that, yeah. And you just gotta realize who the fuck you are and what you provide.
Yeah.
Without making it a big deal, like my grandma will tell you right now that Vince is her favorite grandchild, and everybody's dumbfounded by that because
that is hilarious.
You don't understand. This nigga is a terrorist. You know what I'm saying?
But they have a connection.
They see each other in a way. Can't do nothing about it.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
No, and that's just how it happens.
That's just how it go. So, I said all that to say, Jermaine, I respect your decision to bow out gracefully. But if my only question to him is, since he's a big fan of rap, hip-hop, if you were in the crowd in the height of Hov and Nas beef, it don't matter who's, if it was Nas show or a Hov show, and before they decided publicly they were going to reconcile, they went on stage and said, hey, man, that Nas record or that Hov record really, you know, let me bow out. You as a hip-hop fan at the age you were, when you would have been there to witness that, would you feel?
You'd have been dumbfounded.
You would have been upset,
yeah,
because you've expressed how much rap hip hop means to you.
Yeah.
If it was there was another, like if 50 and Jai, because a lot of regular casuals don't know that Cole moved to New York to try to get a deal. The first person he ran into is fucking Toti Yayo.
Yeah, yeah,
right. So there's a universe out there where Cole signed to G-Unit.
50 Cent called J. Cole.
Yeah, he was like, yeah, because of the shit. Yeah. There's a universe out there where Nicki signs to G-Unit.
Yeah,
before
absolutely.
Going to Young Money.
Absolutely.
Well, before going to Gucci, then Young Money. There's that world, too. So it's like, you as a fan, Jermaine, doing what you did, how would you have felt in that moment? I'm not talking about 38, 7, 6 year old Jermaine, who's an adult and got responsibilities, a wife and kids, or kid, or how, you know. I'm talking about the fan in you. So don't spin this narrative that's happening online in your defense when you know if you were a fan, you know, it's hard to be a fan when you're in it, right? But like when you're a fan, and Nas and Ho did that, you feel the same way, bro. So just let it, the internet go internet. Let that be. Let it be.
Yeah, the thing is, I don't think this is going to bother him. Mm. Like, honestly, like in the grand scheme, I don't think this is going to bother him because he's not really into that, like, side of things. Mm. I do just wish, like the rap fan of me do just wish they would just do a, like a back and forth song, call it a day, and let it just be what it is. I don't think Kendrick and Drake are ever going to be at that level. Kendrick and Drake just don't mix. It's fine.
Yeah.
And that's okay. We don't all have to be friends out here.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, they don't have to be friends. And then Drake is clearly offended by this.
Oh, yeah.
Because he has been going through it. He's been making social media posts.
Yeah.
He fuck the motherfuckers on at this concert.
Not
like,
another nigga alive can fuck with me. Yeah. He was going off.
So, and look, it is what it is. Like, Drake has to know he can't rap better than Kendrick.
All I'm thinking about is what Hov said on that Keys record. Like, in real life, I'm like Hov. In real life, I'm like Goals. In real life, you like me? In real life, I'm like, no. Like, nigga, what? Yeah. My swag different. That bag different. Nigga, my wife like Beyonce.
Brag different. Come on, man.
These niggas ain't really. That, again, somehow, some way, our J. Cole, Kendrick, Drake, Big Three conversation had turned into Hov conversation on the way here. And I'm just thinking about.
Of course.
I'm just thinking about, like.
Because we talk about rap.
The first tweet I tweeted after I saw the video was like, fuck letting Nas down. Nigga, you let Hov down. Like, he gave you an opportunity to be where you are right now. And you are a huge Nas fan. Same way with Kanye. Kanye was a huge Nas fan. Kanye had spoke several times about making that takeover beat and how that kind of affected him. Because Nas at that time was one of his favorite rappers. I get that. But like, nigga, if Hov signed me right now, today, like, Chris, I hear your beats, I hear your little raps, you good, you Roc Nation. Nigga, fuck Nas, nigga, fuck this, nigga, fuck that, fuck fuck Flex, nigga, fuck everybody that ever said anything about Hov, nigga, I'm dying on that hill. I'm dying. I'm already would die on the hill, but, like, I'm super dying if he's signing, nigga. Like, I'm like, yeah, I'm dead, nigga. This is the afterlife, nigga, aftermath, whatever you want to call it, nigga. I'm riding, bro. Pause. So, that even those, that's where shit get tricky, bro. How can you, I don't know. This, the game is the game. I do wish.
Yeah.
It could just stay competitive. I know, like, people have been bringing up Beanie Single and Jada, the whole Lox beef. Yeah. That was real beef.
Yeah, niggas real
could've,
beef.
Niggas could have laid down. You know what I'm saying?
Like, that's what I'm saying. Some people think beef is like, has to be violent. Mm. It doesn't have to, it's not always violence.
Yeah.
It's just like, I rap better than you, bitch.
That's it.
Yeah.
KRS-One, The Bridge Is Over with Marley or MC Sham or whoever the fuck it was. The Bridge Is Over. Hard. Even 50, being from Queens, he was like, KRS was his favorite rapper growing up. Mm-hmm. 50 even said, yo, when I heard The Bridge Is Over, bro, I was like, fuck, nigga. Because that's my favorite rapper. And he talking on his bitch.
Yeah, because
it's hard to deny.
No, because and always because it was even crazier because KRS-One was always like the positive rapper.
Yeah.
So then when he did that, you're like, oh, he got go. Yeah. Like he really could get after.
Boom, boom, don't. Like the beef was so elementary.
It's so crazy to me that Nelly and KRS-One had a beef at one point.
Yeah,
that shit is so weird. And
it made it to beef.
Yeah, and then
DVD.
Apparently Nelly won that beef.
I'm number one.
Yeah.
And KRS-One admitted it, but he was like, therein lies the problem. You got the glitz and the glam, so of course it's going to look like that. But it ain't that.
We're not going to act like Nelly ain't got to go, though.
No, Nelly
got to go. You know, we Nelly people up here. Yeah, so
Nelly,
like,
Nelly got to go for sure. But yeah, man. I don't like the rewriting of history when it comes to these battles as well. I guess because there's a small portion of fans that feel like because, you know, this drill rap came on the scene and that's all that is dissing, you know, dissing yeah. ops or whatever. Yeah. And people have ended up dying behind some of these songs. I guess they think all rap is here right now, and that's just not the case.
That's not the case.
Let me tell y'all something y'all might not be aware of. Nelly Furtado, however you say her name. I know that ass is Furtado. I'll tell you that. She thick as fuck, nigga. But Nelly Furtado and Fergie had real beef. Pop star beef. Do you think they were about to shoot each other?
No.
Like, no, right?
They might have said some words backstage, but.
Timbaland had beef with Scott Storch.
Yeah.
Nothing going on there. And even though I'll cap for this white man the same way I do for Dawn, Justin Timberlake had beef with Prince. So what did they do? They didn't go fight, try to pull up on niggas' trailers and no shit like that. They made a record.
I never would have fought Prince.
Like, physical?
Yeah, no.
Nah, that nigga smashed a guitar across your head, nigga. It's a rap.
He probably has some mystical shit you don't even know.
The nigga can hoop, bro, that means he got like court vision. he agile and shit. Like, yeah. I ain't fucking with no nigga who could go get me 30.
Yeah.
I'm not doing it.
Yeah.
That, so, you too athletic. I can't make a record. Get me 30. Yeah. You make a record. And their beats were probably like, you know, I think Fergie's and Nelly's.
It's flash in the pan, bro. Was,
yeah, like, you know, Fergie said on her record, I'm not promiscuous. And at the time, Nelly had promiscuous. So it's like, oh, you, I'm the only one who said promiscuous this year.
So, bitch.
Yeah, Timbaland and Scott's, that's, you know, bad blood. Maybe royalties not being paid. Maybe one person, Scott was on that pure. So maybe he was talking out the cuz. Timbaland was like, hold on now. You just a piano nigga, bro. I really do this shit. And I feel like, I know a reporter had the gall to ask Prince, oh, so how do you feel about Sexy Back? Like, da 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 da. Prince was like, Sexy Back. Sexy never went nowhere. I'm still here type shit.
Yeah.
Justin felt slighted. So, like, as an artist, you grab your nuts. If you are protecting what this thing is,
You double down.
And they would have made a diss. What was the record? Give It To Me. Boop, doo, 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 doo. Like, they was going crazy on that shit. And you're in the club, you're acting real nice. Like, they was on that hoe. That was like, let me go make a pop record.
Yeah.
But I'm dissing.
Yeah.
My, like, that's what it is, bro. Yeah. Like,
get on wax.
Even Drake and Hove, they're a little back and forth. They still do records together. It is what it is. Like, they understand. Like, this is just a spirit of
sorry,
competition.
Sorry, Miss Drizzy.
And that nigga.
For the art talk.
Silly me rapping about shit that I really bought with these other rappers about shit that they ain't got and a bunch of other silly shit that I'm on my loop.
See, Drake tried to poke the bear, but he backed up.
Don't do it, bro.
That's the problem he don't want.
Don't do it, bro. I used to want to sign J. Then I turned into Hov. Then I got a house on the hill. Yay pool is nice, but it's just big of a. Hey, they be talking. But only certain people can talk that talk.
Yeah.
That's what it is, really, at the because end of the day.
The thing is, like, especially now, we can fact check all this shit.
Type shit.
So that's what makes it even crazier when you, like, Pusha T did. We could run down the list.
We could go through.
All facts.
Three Drake albums where he talked about his parents and how that made him feel.
All facts.
And Drake, I mean, Pusha come and just say, hey, maybe you should address this instead of.
And be a fucking father.
Yeah, worry about me selling how much drugs I sold. What about your dad? What about your mom? Like, but I get why Drake was like angry. Cause it's like, nigga, don't talk about my mom. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
or my homie who's dying.
Type shit. Like, I want to fight. I want to see blood. But
he doesn't want to see blood.
Nah.
Push the T would say. Nah.
And okay, let's address some of these narratives right quick that I've been seeing on Twitter.
Narrative.
They keep saying Drake is battle tested. He's battle tested.
Battle tested.
That's what they say.
Okay.
I'll give him the edge.
He beat Common.
I give him that edge.
Because Common got emotional.
Yeah. Drake kept it calm, cool, stay scheming.
Because when you get emotional, that means you already lost. So Common lost that one.
Who was next?
But I will, as I said before, I would have battled over Serena as well.
Yeah, come on now. She snuck his bar
thing. And then
Chris Brown.
I don't care about a light skin off, bro.
I think Chris got the. I think Chris won that one though.
Really?
Yeah. As far as the physicality, I know they're throwing bottles at each other in the club and shit.
Chris is too crazy. He would have beat the brakes off Drake. And I'm not even a Chris Brown guy, yeah, but sure.
Okay, so after Chris, it was. Cuddy, right? They had that little back and forth.
Another one. Cuddy is easy beef.
Yeah.
What is Cuddy going?
Yeah.
You fucking with the wrong one.
Kanye and Drake's beef, again, what I said on our last podcast, that's real estate.
But also, that's all like outside of music, though.
Yeah.
Like they don't get on wax to talk about it. Yeah. Like that's all back here.
Yeah.
Noise.
So that one don't really count.
Then I don't care.
The Puffy shit too.
And then he got punched in the face.
But we're not finna sit here and act like those records. What was it? The 4 p.m. Calabasas.
No, but I'm saying Drake actually got punched in the face, and then the Meek Mill one is the rare occasion because Meek Mill is, I don't like to say this, but he's just dumb.
He's dumb. But let's kind of go into that Meek Mill situation for a second. Meek felt however he felt about Drake prior to him tweeting.
And he's been going crazy after right recently, now, too, yeah. Talking about Wale and shit. Say it, bro.
I don't know if a beef was warranted behind what Meek did, though. Because,
Chris, really what the beef was
is, you exposed me, so now I gotta embarrass you.
Partially, and then also Nicki.
Yeah.
You gotta understand, at that time, that was,
and Nicki was choosing up.
That's what Drake wanted, right?
She rode for her nigga at that point in time.
Look, Drake is literally like 0 for 11 on women in the game, right? Oh, he wanted Rihanna. Didn't happen. He wanted Sky Diggins. Got a kiss on the forehead.
11.
Yeah. Oh, don't.
I'll just play.
Don't even start
playing
with that shit.
Plus, SZA, they apparently were a thing. Apparently. Also,
she too good for him.
Georgia Smith as well. That was a thing.
That would have pissed you off.
No, nah, Georgia, I don't care.
No, that would have pissed you off, though.
Of what?
If her and Drake were a thing.
I mean. Georgia fine, bro. Thick, slim, it don't matter. She
but.
Just, I'll knock that shit.
I think it was really, it was like words that were said, and then the Nicki thing just exemplified it. Because he was like, how dare you act like your girl ain't the biggest woman artist on the planet right now.
Yeah.
And that's why he was so easy target on that shit. Like, it was target practice.
Yeah.
I will concede that Back to Back is an amazing diss record. Mm-hmm. Like, we never had a diss record that was like a number one hit single for no reason. Like,
Charged Up, Back to Back, and Summer 16, Looking for Revenge.
Bro, he had haymakers on Meek Mill, bro. Yeah. Meek Mill was.
But I still think that's more of.
He's punching below his weight class, though. He punched below his weight class.
I still feel like. That wasn't a real beef. Which is why
Meek
they made
was
up.
Mad that on their record, on his second album, I forget it now, but that was the biggest record on his album with the one with Drake.
Oh, the comeback, Whenever Friends Again?
No, the one before the beef.
Amen? Because before that, they didn't have any.
It was the one on the red cover.
Drake or Meek's album?
Drake, it was Meek's album.
Oh, Rico.
Yeah, but that was the best song on there.
Yeah, it was.
And he was mad that people were
one of the best.
But he was acting. But people were like really. But Drake killed that shit though.
But it came out that verse was penned by Quentin.
But that was Meek Mill's skin in the game was just that.
Yeah.
But it was too late. Bro,
DJ Drama sent him the references, though.
It ain't a world tour. It's your girl's tour.
I mean, it's hard. But nothing. The only stain that has.
Now, like I said, like you said, battle tested is a fucking crazy word.
That's what they said.
No, that's what I'm saying.
And I said that to say.
Because really.
Was the battle rapping before.
Because that's like the only reason I said it. Because the Meek Mill is the only time we've seen him like really go crazy. Was the Meek Mill, because everything else, like the common one was just kind of like, what was Common going to do after that? This man, man's like 600 years old. Mm-hmm. Like, this man's like been in the game. He ain't going to go back and forth with you like that. He's not Common's not a battle rapper.
Yeah.
Common is a spiritual.
Yeah, he's a rapper's rapper.
Common did make one of the best rap albums of all time.
That's a fact.
But he's not like that.
So.
But he did say your name, though.
He did. So here we are with this Future Kendrick situation. And again, I feel like most of it's real estate.
God, Future is so fucking smart, bro.
Future don't get, this is my issue with Future.
Your issue with Future, like himself?
Yeah.
Or like
his catalog in particular has more misses than hits for me.
Sure. Yeah.
But
that's the nature of what he does, though.
When he's at that type of trajectory, though.
Yeah, you said he's in the top four conversation.
Yeah, and now I mean
the big four conversation. Right?
Yeah, he's fourth for me. When he's
Because, look, when you're... The reason... That is by design, though, Chris, because that type of music that he makes, it's not for rap's sake, right? It's... He is a
hit.
He is a hit maker, right?
Yeah.
He has a certain vibe, and so if he puts out an album of 17 songs, if you get like six bangers in that trajectory, that's a good percentage,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, he's not crafting albums like we said earlier, like Kendrick.
Yeah.
He is a hit maker. Let's call a spade a spade. Like, Future is the pulse. Whatever Future is doing at the time is where we're at
in the streets,
and that's okay, because have you heard Monster?
Come on, man. Beast Mode, 56 Nights, Dirty Sprite.
He is the pulse, and he worked for it, because I've told the story numerous times. I've seen him get booed on stage to where he's at now.
Was. Yeah,
and it was a Kendrick show, Kendrick and Mobb Deep.
Yeah,
like so, like that's what I mean. Like he speaks for the side that wants that shit, right?
Bruh, I went back and listened to Never Forget last week. The first line he say outside of the chorus, he said, "My grandma and my granddaddy, they all suspicious. Just say no to drugs." Hell nah.
Chris.
That shit means something to me.
I don't think I've ever like publicly said this. I've said it to you, I think.
What?
I've never publicly said this.
What?
Like, you're the reason I even listen to Future.
Oh, dope. Cool.
Because... We had a conversation once, and I think I was actually talking about Kendrick or something. I think it was To Pimp a Butterfly time.
Mm.
It was when I was in Charlotte.
Mm.
And we always talk about music, like, regardless. But we were talking about music, and you were like, "Bro, you just have to listen to Future, bro." And I was like, "Man, I done seen the man get booed, bro. I'm not..." And then, like, the Pluto album was not my cup of tea. I listened to it.
Right.
I did listen to it. I was like, "You're like, bro, just listen to Monster, bro."
Right.
And I did. And I was like, I literally text Chris. I said, "I get it."
Yeah. 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 Even.
And like, then it just kept going.
Yeah.
And then I get it. Future has a certain appeal. And then my barber in Charlotte, Tap.
Shout out to Tap.
He was like, "Future finds pockets that you think don't exist."
Mm.
And then when I heard that, I was like, "You are fucking right."
Mm.
You are like literally fucking right. Mm-hmm. Like, cause the way he like,
mm-hmm.
I never would have like experienced that type of, and I, like, I've always been a fan after that, but you were the reason I actually even like dove into the,
I appreciate shit. That. Let me tell you a quick story. I'm in my room and Zach is in there with me. And he's on my laptop doing something.
Already
I'm just
crazy story.
Laying in my bed. I don't know what he's doing. But we just had YouTube music going, and it was just cycling through whatever.
Yeah.
And Zaytoven had put out an album. This was right, like the year after we left the apartment. Zaytoven put out an album. So, you know, a bunch of rappers doing a bunch of shit. And then this record comes out we never heard by Future and Zaytoven. I ain't even finna lie to y'all. Morilla is what it's called.
Is it on any project?
It's on Zaytoven's album.
It's on Zaytoven's album.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know if it's like Zaytoven in Future or Zaytoven did like a DJ Khaled-esque type album.
Okay.
But it's called Morilla.
Did it hit your soul?
We did not say one word for that whole song.
Did you sit up?
No, we both just stayed doing what we were doing.
It was froze.
But we were not talking. The song go off. Still quiet. And then I say to Zach, "Hey, bro, that shit was hard." I was like, "What the fuck?" Zach was like, "Nigga, what?"
Yeah.
We ran that whole back.
Ran it back.
And we was like, "This is different." It was different because, look, I'm not the biggest fan of Zaytoven. I've never been, just being honest from a production standpoint.
He said that plenty of times, yep.
He's more like, he got the sides, but he ain't got the meat to a dish, like a full course meal.
He's a little piano motherfucker.
Yeah, like, yeah. It feels empty a lot of times, and I don't get, you know, whatever.
It's all keys.
Right.
It's all keys, and please.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that record, what Future did on that record, like, even his cadence.
Realist with the car, by the way.
he was like, hey, I don't have English in y'all. Like how he was just doing the whole song though. Mm-hmm. It was like, but it's not just the fact that he could do the melody and the cadence. He actually, this nigga said, shorty's on perk. This a drug addict date. That touched my soul. I was like, wait, what? This nigga, what? What? I was like, he always gonna say something you would never think to say.
Yeah.
And it's like soul fire. I feel like rappers from Memphis and Atlanta, as far as niggas go, like it's like they gonna say the coolest shit, like Jay-Z level cool.
Look, and I just do want to give like Future his flowers, because like people don't talk about his like rap ability enough, because you're hearing the melodics and the beat, mm-hmm. and like what's happening. But if you're really listening, like
that nigga talking
Future, don't forget, this man has been stamped by Outkast and all them motherfuckers, right?
Organized Noise as a conglomerate,
because he was like that. I mean, he changed like the way he delivered it, but he's still rapping like a motherfucker.
Yeah,
it's just like 2 Chainz, bro.
Yeah,
like people, if you really sit there and like listen to 2 Chainz,
yeah.
2 Chainz has got that shit.
The bro. Hardest line 2 Chainz has ever said on a record was no lie. He was like the YSL belt buckle. Y'all niggas show is lucky. Y'all niggas show is lucky. Like, what? What?
Yeah.
Like, why do you even...
He says off the wall shit.
Yeah, bro. Even on the joint with Schoolboy Q on Schoolboy on Oxymoron. At that point in time, I looked at I'm drawing a blank, but I looked at my homie, and I said, 2 Chainz has never rapped as good as he just did on this record right here. And 2 Chainz, you know, he already put out his first album. He's been on a slew of features. Like at that point in time, where 2 Chainz couldn't miss, like
True Religion,
he couldn't miss, like. Yeah. Even if it's not like a crazy ass bar, I went back and listened to Dope Peddler the other day.
Oh man,
the nigga was just like, yeah. "See what these bitches looking like? Stick it in, I'll crook it like Louis V by Kryptonite. Take your wife and I give her back. Like give her this and I give her that. Like even your favorite line, like they say that I'm crazy. I used to talk to a stove. Yeah. I used to tell it a lot. Shit, I tell it a lot. Yeah, like he, yeah.
No, nah, motherfucker, you and Miles used to fucking, I spray Febreze in a box.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The what is it? It's Freebase. I came from nothing. Me and my niggas, we came from nothing, so we came like it's nothing. Tell you for the introduction.
Does it came from nothing, suffering.
Yeah, come on, bro. 2 Chainz.
Yeah, hard, I spray Febreze in a box.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was your shit, though.
I tell you, I'm crazy. I used to talk to a stove. I tell it a lot. Shit.
I tell it a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, it's like Future, any nigga from the South, for really.
We're not gonna debate the states in the South.
No. Yeah. It don't matter where they from. If they can say something that make me think about, if they say something that make me visualize my grandma's street.
Oh yeah.
They touch another part. Mm-hmm. I'm 6 hours away, but you just said something and you're not even from there. But it's just a cultural thing that we all go through, like having the same China growing up, or all of us having the McDonald's Disney plates and shit. Like
the blankets, when
it's,
yeah.
Type shit. When it's something like that,
yeah.
And I know you not from where they from, where I'm from, and you can resonate with me and I can visualize it, I don't care what they say about you, bro. You touched my soul.
Yeah, you tapped in.
Yeah, like that's crazy, bro.
It's like we talked about the last episode with Ryan. Like, that's what Jeezy did. Because I don't know if we, like, the South has ever been that united. Like, with a person.
Behind like, somebody like that, yeah.
The Jeezy was like, we were here.
The reason why I was like that, though.
Yeah.
Is because of BMF.
I understand.
Like, if BMF wasn't behind that nigga that way, I'm not saying he wouldn't have became Jeezy.
Sure.
But
sure.
For it to be to the point where I wore a Snowman t-shirt to school and got in trouble. Because they were like, do you know what this is and what this means? And I'm like, yeah, this nigga moving coke. Like, of course I know what it means. But I'm in seventh grade.
You can't stop me.
Yeah, why do I know
this? I had this motherfucker on my CD player, bro. I had a CD player. Like, look, I'm old enough to have a CD player.
Yeah.
I had it clipped on my damn hip. Had those little fuzzy-ass headphones on, bro, listening to fucking That is one of the best debut albums of in, all, history. Like, in history. Yeah, I don't care what genre in history.
No, don't matter
the
genre.
This is like, we equated, like, every song was on the fucking radio, just like T.I. Urban Legend, bro.
And Webby, like y'all said. In that
Webby,
clip.
Dog. Webby at 18 was speaking to me. Like, it wasn't because I was on those street shit. I was just because, like.
You're familiar with it, though. You be around enough people.
Like, it just had that, like, it had that sound I wanted. Like, I mean, come on, man.
That's why, like, for me, music is so personal.
Yeah.
Because.
It has to be.
I only like what's going to take me somewhere, inspire me in some shape or form. And I told a couple people, like, one, we were playing, like, a game, like, to get to know each other.
Oh, icebreaker.
Type shit like that. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I told her straight up, I was like, I really don't like it when you send me music. Like Spotify links and shit like that.
Sure.
And she couldn't fathom that because our music taste is similar, but like I got to come into it on my own. And you sending it to me makes me feel like now I'm trying to kind of figure out why you sent it to me instead of me coming to it. So like I'll give you the perfect example. When I discovered Ain't It Fun by Paramore.
Oh, yeah.
I was in. Like, I was like, have y'all heard this shit? They were like, bro, this shit came out like 2006. Where the fuck you been, bro? I'm like, this is the greatest song I've ever written. It came out when it came out. And I was like, this shit crazy, bro. And I was, you know, they were blah, blah, blah. But, you know, it touched me in that way.
With that kind of thing, that's why I never understood, like, the music shaming. Like, I've been on this shit.
Yeah.
Well, bro, you should want people to find this shit because this shit's great.
And we're going to feed your artist pockets to keep them.
Yeah, like, look, that's just how some shit works. Some, like, as human beings, we only have so much time and capacity to listen to certain things.
Right.
If you go back and find something, like, you found Paramore. Great. Paramore is huge in the black community.
Oh, yeah.
You know this.
Yeah, yeah.
But Paramore is Haley Williams is fucking great.
Yeah, she's cold.
Like, she's fucking great. Like, they're great. And
she,
like,
don't get talked about enough as a vocalist.
She doesn't because she's fucking great.
Yeah.
And I remember when they announced they're making new music, people were like fucking freaked out. That's beautiful. That is what's crazy about music in general. Like, I remember when that's literally how me and Chaz connected in the first place. Like, he saw me have an iPod.
Mm.
I have my headphones in. He was like, what are you listening to? I said, Kanye. He said, no, you're not.
Mm.
I handed him my iPod. He scrolled through my shit. He saw how much shit I had on there. He's like, bro, you tapped in.
Yeah.
Because that was what I used to do. I used to digitally crate dig, as they would say. Like I would literally crate dig. I used to sell bootleg CDs at school. I would get mixtapes and bootlegging before they came out, like, officially.
Lost art.
And that's what I used to do. That's how I, like, that was my school hustle. Like, you know how you middle school, you sell fruit roll-ups and shit. Like, that was my thing. I sold CDs.
Yeah.
But that is, like, kind of like the thing. Like, that's why the era me and Chris are from is, like, we discover shit. That's what he's talking about.
So much shit.
That's what he's talking about. Like, if you send him a link, like, why he's like, you gotta, like, we like finding stuff.
And most of the time, I'll play it because, like, when they send, well, Apple does this too. Apple Music. Excuse me. But a Spotify, you know, you can play, like, the first 5 seconds in the message. You just press.
I don't do Spotify.
Excuse me. They do it with Apple too. If they send you the song link, you can just press play and it'll play like the first couple seconds of the song.
No, Apple Music, you play the whole song.
In the text?
From the message, yeah.
Oh, well, I didn't know that. But yeah, I'm like, okay, yeah, this is cool, whatever. But like, Yeah, I don't like being sent. Another reason why I was like, what mood am I in? Like, what song are you sending me? And is this going to make me better, worse, indifferent? Like, I don't like that shit. So I told him, and I was like, it's not nothing against y'all. I know y'all know how much I care about music, and y'all just trying to put me on. But, like, let me come to it. Like, when even when I found out about, Disclosure. It was through a woman. She was playing it, or she put me up on game type shit. And I was like, oh, yeah, this nigga's hard. Or even, I'm trying to think of, like, when I was, like, Baby Rose. I think I came across her on my own, and I just so happened to meet somebody who heard of her.
She's very good. Very, like, she does not look how she sounds at all.
No, at all. Yeah. But, yeah, there's a ton of artists, like, similar interests. A woman just so happens to be playing it. But for me to introduce it into my space like that, I don't do that.
It was great. We're gonna get in on some music talk, but since you like kind of got me to listen to Future, is there anybody I got you to listen to that you're like, yeah, this shit was tight? Because I know my wife and things. I've got her to listen to people that she fucks with.
I will say this: you got me to listen to, You got me to listen to MF Doom.
Oh, nice. Okay.
100%.
Sure.
And on my journey of going through MF Doom's albums, just listening to like what he was rapping on definitely inspired me to like think outside of the box. But that was probably, you were always playing Doom, and I might not have known who it was at the time.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
Because you was always playing that accordion record, even like Chrysler days, I feel like you were listening to that.
I had the CD, and I used to throw CDs in there all the time.
But I might not have known who it was or cared enough to know. But around the time the pandemic started is when I think it just went to another level for me. And I was like, let me actually, because I was like going on walks and shit more.
You study, yeah.
Listening. Because like that super beat, even what he did with that, like, you know, he took the salt and pepper drums, chopped it up, put it on the Anita Super. Baker joint. And I was just like, I forgot that you could do that because I hadn't took two different samples that combined it. But even though the album predates when I started getting into making beats or whatever, seriously.
Food, yeah.
Yeah, like shit like that. So I would definitely say Doom. I would also say Black Star because of the common
respiration.
Yeah, but I only listen to that in this song's not because of you, but you started it because of that. Somebody asked like, "What's the greatest rap verse?" Period. On Twitter, and someone said it's got to be this, and it was Mos Def's verse from Thief, the Thief in the Night record. Mm-hmm. And then I heard the beat, and I was like, "Oh, this sound like this was." A month ago, I was like, oh, this sounds like some shit I can get behind. Because I ain't go through the album. I just found that song, yeah, Respiration, added it.
Yeah, because I remember when I played it, you were like, this song's hard as fuck.
Yeah, Common Snap, the beat hard. Shout out to, who made that? High Tech, I think.
Yeah, it's Good You Left.
But that, the Thief in the Night record is fucking everything about it. I even like Quali's verse on there, and I'm not the biggest Quali fan ever.
Yeah.
But Mos Def went off. 88 Keys made that beat. I didn't know he made that beat.
Yeah.
To know who 88 Keys is from the Death of Adam album on, to realize who, like how pivotal he was in Kanye's career, then to go back and find out he made that, then to find out that nobody could find the sample that he actually sampled, like the lore behind that record on The Thief in the Night.
That album is crazy, though.
Yeah, but
Black Star.
I haven't listened to a full Mos Def album ever in my life. Let me be honest. I know I'm not going to. I'll listen to it, but like I just can't get up. It's nothing. It's not what Talib says. Like he can rhyme. I just can't get past his voice. So that's like to me, I can't. Yeah. But I listen to his podcast. I really like his podcast when somebody's interesting is on there. Like, he had a JPEG Mafia on there a couple of years ago. And
did
I
watched he?
It. Yeah, That was a great ass interview.
I love JPEG Mafia.
That was a great ass interview. But
he be making some crazy ass beats.
I don't know what it is. Like my tone that I kind of resonate with the most is in that Q-Tip, Jay-Z.
Understood. Yeah.
Even though I feel like ODB is kind of in between,
but he's like separate.
Yeah, but I was just speaking like tone,
because there ain't
nobody.
Never will there be. Never was. Mm-hmm. Never will be anything like that. McGurk. Because he was such a unique individual. Yeah. There will be nothing like that again.
But I resonate with him so much.
I understand.
He just reminds me of me and Vince in particular.
But that was the appeal to him.
Yeah.
Because you would be, I know someone like this.
Yeah.
But no one could sound like him.
No.
And like, if you're, when you're, like even watching like the Wu-Tang show, like that episode was whole different in general. Like, mm-hmm. But no one could craft anything like that again. Like, if when you turn the album on, you're not going to expect what you're hearing. Like every song is like something. I mean, he made his welfare card to fucking
some of the most prolific rhymes. I like resonate with so much. It's from just one Brooklyn Zoo by him.
Yeah,
he said so much shit in that song.
Yeah.
Like that, it's almost like Instagram captions way before Instagram. Like fucking now, you're learning how. I don't even like your motherfucking profile. Like, your style, I mastered it. Like all this shit, different shit. Well, he was like, this was on the, I think the Khalees record, Dirt Make Hurt, God Make Dirt and Dirt Bust Your Ass. That was on the Got Your Money record. But like he had those lines that just like. Nigga, if your mom's was a fried chicken like 4 days out of the week, you wouldn't understand this. You know what I'm saying? Like, type shit. Like, I don't know, bro. The thing about life, and we can end on this for real. I'm done. The thing about life for real is that we think that our experience is so catered to us, like, personally, glove-wise, right? Like, this glove fits me perfect. But, like, the more I listen to rap in particular, it's like we might not have had the same experience, but like we experienced it the same.
Mm-hmm.
Or enough for me to recognize you, right? There's like
that, I understand what you're talking about.
I understand where you're coming from.
Yeah.
Like that, there's a, I guess, a saying, I guess, that when you get to heaven, right, and all your loved ones are there, you're not going to recognize them by face. You're going to recognize them by, like, their aura. And I feel like there's only certain artists that I feel that way about. Like, when this is all said and done, we all up there, like, I feel like I'm instantly going to go to the table that ODB's at. Cause I feel like some weird way, shape, or form, Kanye is going to be at that table. Like, and then through some weird way, shape, or form, like, Kodak is going to be at that table. He going to be at that. Well, I feel like he's going to be at that table too. But it's just experience. I can't really. I that's just how I feel. Like, but that's just like some, you know, on some lunch shit. Like, but yeah, I feel that way about certain artists. Like. It's just a shared experience. You got to know somebody really, really well to know why this is good. Like, if you don't get it off the cusp, then, you know, it's not for you, and that's okay. But it don't suck by any metric, whoever's doing what. But I'm done. I ain't got nothing else to say. With your last words.
I mean, as we've kind of delved into here, like, it's cool we kind of get back to the essence. You know, this was always primarily a music podcast in general, but especially with us too. But,
culture in general.
But music is really the common denominator. And like the one thing where we can all, like, conversate on, because we all can it's a universal language. Like, you got people in Brazil, Japan, Beijing, whatever.
Chinese niggas love 50 Cent. Love him. My Lyft driver was playing Wangsta and the Out of Control remix, an 8-minute drive. I was like, Asians do fuck with 50. That's crazy.
But it's a universal language.
Like, Hispanic people fuck with Travis Scott.
It's a universal language.
Yeah.
Because we all have that feeling, and it might be something, like you said, that we can relate to. Like, anything Southern, we know that sound. Like, we get it.
Yeah.
If you're in New York, you know that sound. You get it. If you're on the West Coast, you know that sound. You get it. That's what I'm saying. Like, that's what makes music great and the hip-hop great in general, because we do, not the beef per se, but the regionality of it is kind of a thing, because, like, we all sound different in different regions for a reason. And I don't, that's what makes hip-hop cool, because, like, country just sounds like country music. But, like, hip-hop,
except for Beyonce's album.
Yeah. Which is great, by the way. But, like, when you go to these different cities, everybody has their own sound, and that's, and we like that. Yeah. We're like, what does it sound like over here? And that's what's cool about it. And, but at the end of the day, it's a language that we all can understand. And it's definitely a lot of thing that brought a lot of people together. And regardless of, like, how you feel about the J. Cole, Kendrick, Drake thing, like, even that we're talking about it is important.
Yeah.
Because that's how big that is. And, like, we're, like, as they put the numbers up, hip-hop was the biggest genre last year as well.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care what any fan tries to tell you, like, we are, it is the biggest genre.
It's going
to
continue to be that.
It is the pulse of wherever they, like, pop music stems off hip-hop now.
Yeah.
Like, everything stems off this. Even hip-hop records have bass in it now.
Yeah, because of the commentary.
Right.
We're going to get every aspect, from sexuality to religion to politics.
Because everything is in rap.
Yeah.
Right? 100%. Because it is a primarily, like, lyrical-based format.
Yeah.
You're going to get all these things. And there really is an avenue for all this stuff. Like, you got club music, radio music, you got personal music, you have all of it in hip-hop, because that's what it's for now, especially now. And it's still, like, a young thing that's still evolving.
50 years old.
And I still appreciate where it's going, what it's done. And I don't want anybody to try to take away from that. And I do like the spirit of competition still. Like, that's great. I want you to all feel like you got go. You know what I'm saying? But to me, like, I personally know great rappers. Like, I know them. Like, if you're not rapping better than Brandon or Vic or Tev, like, what can you really tell me? Like, even Kush. Like, Kush is rapping his ass off. Like, if you can't rap better than them, like show me. Like, right? If you think you can. Because I actually know these guys. Like, right? So, like, that's what makes rap really cool. I'm always excited to hear more. And that's why I still, every Friday, I look at what came out, see what was popping. And regardless of where you feel it's at, there's still stuff out there. And like I said, like, it just be like, just this shit made national news. I fucking diss track and an apology made. Like, if this is crazy. Like, but,
Huffington Post.
I'm as glad it's here, but yeah, we're back. We should be back to regular schedule programming, until further notice, but we're here trying to get some more stuff going. Oh, the studio we recorded at Hello Studios is having a network event on April 20th, which is for us next Saturday, but if you listen to this episode on Monday, it's on Saturday. It's here. It's free. I'll put the link in the description. You can RSVP. There's going to be provided food, snacks, drinks. Me and Chris are providing the music, and we're hosting the event. So come check it out. If you want to start a podcast or like any kind of content, there's going to be people here to talk to you about that. You can get some networking, get some people on your show and things of that nature. So that's on April 20th. And just today, I personally am going to be on Ecamm's channel, the software that I use for like recording videos and such. I'm going to be on their channel on May 8th. They have a thing every Wednesday called Meet the Fam, which people that use it, the Ecamm fam. I'm going to be on there. I'm going to talk about our show, fatherhood, things like that. But that'll be a live thing. So I'll start posting some stuff for that whenever Ecamm gives me the go-ahead to do so. But I'll be on there on May 8th live from my living room. So we got some stuff lined up. I am wearing the Step Brothers hoodie. I'm just going to release this shop.
Just go ahead.
And just in very shortly. But Chris is leaving. We're gonna call, say bye-bye.
Bye, y'all.
All right. Going to the court. Okay. Don't rip it. Okay. But that's it from us. We'll see y'all next week. And doo-doo-doo-doo.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.